Name's Rex. But you'll call me Captain or Sir. War does not come with a guarantee. No soldier gets the promise.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 113. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week, well, like last week, it's all about Clone Wars. As Woo-hoo! Always, I am Mikey B, and I'm joined by my co-host, Caitlin. Hey, Caitlin.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's been a while, I think.
If you want to get involved in the conversation, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at Our Radio Podcast, leave a comment on our Facebook page, or send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook, download any 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free. Caitlin, we were going to talk about Last Shot this week, and you listened to that in audiobook, right? Or did you just read it?
Yes. No audiobook, and I wouldn't read it any other way. That was amazing.
It was so good, right? It was an awesome audiobook. I definitely would definitely check it out. It's free for you guys to do it. Even if you had an Audible account previously, go to audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. And guys, this is the perfect time to get into Audible, because the new Thrawn book is coming out. And man, it is so... The Thrawn novels, just the way they're read, is so good. You can just close your eyes and you feel like you're in the movie. It's amazing. But definitely check it out. We've also launched our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradio. You can join us in our Discord chat, hear all our mistakes where we can't figure out how to get the audio working. Yep, Brack got to hear that today. And you can also join us for movie nights and After Dark episodes, which I still have one to post. If you can't afford to support us via Patreon, we also have some merchandise for sale. T-shirts and buttons are available on our website. Check that out. Guys, we have a lot of news. Or Caitlin, we have a lot of news to talk about today. And the first bit of news I'm extremely excited about. Solo, A Star Wars Story, is coming home. You'll be able to watch it digitally on September 14th. And on Blu-ray, DVD, and Blu-ray 4K Ultra HD and On Demand, September 25th. I am so excited that this is coming home soon. I don't know. I feel like I didn't get to see it enough in theaters. I did only see it four or five times. But, you know, I really want to see it again. And I was like, oh, I can go see it. And it's like not in my theater. And I'm like, oh, Incredibles knocked it out. And so did, you know, all the other movies. I'm just like really sad that it feels like it should still be in theaters, but it's out of theaters for me. So I'm excited for it to come home. What do you think about this?
Well, I'm kind of curious to watch it again, because after the first time, I did not make it back to watch it a second time. So I haven't seen it since the first time. And as I mentioned on our reaction podcast, I was being a bit of a cantankerous Kate that day for other reasons. One, I was hungry. Two, I had dental work done earlier.
I remember that.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see when I'm, like, at home and not, like, in a foul mood, if my opinion of it goes up.
I'm excited for the extra features here. I think sitting down and watching it at home, I always have, like, I kind of rate the Star Wars movies by, like, rewatchability, but, like, the special features on this really make me excited. Have you seen the list? Solo, the director and cast roundtable. Like, I'm really excited to see Ron Howard and the stars just have a discussion about making the film. You know they're going to have to make a joke about having to make it twice or something like that. Also, there's this Team Chewie segment, which looks amazing, how they talk about bringing the Wookiee to life, which, how can you not love Chewbacca? They also talk about remaking the Millennium Falcon, Escape from Corellia, the train heist, extended scenes and all these things. Scoundrels, droids, creatures, and cards. You know, take an in-depth tour of the rough and tumble bars where strangers and gamblers mix, as well as get to see a little bit more about Sabacc. There's also a lot more additional features, but there's also deleted scenes from Proxima's Den, a Corellian foot chase, Han Solo as an Imperial cadet, which I'm actually really excited to see. The Battle of Mimban has been extended. Han versus Chewie extended. Snowball fight when we meet Drayden for the first time, and the double cross from the Coaxium. So there's a lot of different deleted scenes and just extras they added to this one. I feel like this actually might have more than some of the other films.
Well, two things. One, you forgot one of the my most anticipated ones, which is the one for L3. I wonder if they have so much because, one, as you said, they filmed it twice, so I feel like they have to make that joke not once but twice. And plus all the extra content they would have from doing it twice, but also they might have tried to boost it up to give people reason to buy the DVD since it did not perform as well in the box office.
Yeah, I definitely think having all these extras, like, extras that really make a movie nowadays, I think, for a lot of things when it comes to home. But I will say, Solo was just such a fun film. I feel like it's really going to be one of those things where it's going to quickly fall into the same rotation as, like, Rogue One and Force Awakens as one of my favorite films to just rewatch and have on in the background. Just because it was such a... Like, just thinking, like, looking through the list of, like, scenes and extra stuff. They even have one about the Kessel Run into the Maelstrom. Like, that was such a cool scene, like, flying through the Kessel Run and that Maelstrom. Like, but it's such, like, a small part of the movie. And the train heist was also kind of exciting. And then you see, like, Enfys Nest comes out and you don't know who they were. Like, there's so many little parts of the movie that stood out. It's just, like, really fun segments that, like, for me, if you're watching a movie and you're doing other things, bookwork, cleaning around the house, stuff like that. And I don't know about you, but I like to have stuff on in the background, whether it be music or a movie. But it's one of those things where with some movies, it's okay to have in the background, but there's always like a really fun moment that you stop what you're doing, you watch it, and then you go back to what you're doing. And I feel like Solo is going to be one of those movies where I'll stop like during the exposition at the beginning and do stuff. And then, oh, I got to see this scene. Okay, I'm back doing stuff. And it's going to be one of those movies where I definitely probably pay attention more to the movie than I should if I'm trying to get other things done. But I'm really excited for Solo coming home. The nice part is this is coming home soon, so that way you'll be able to watch it and kind of binge on it before we get into next year's episode 9 stuff.
Yes.
Okay. Hot off the heels of Solo, we also have the Star Wars Fan Awards. We talked about them, I think, last week or the week before. But if you go to StarWarsFanAwards.com, they are now open to submissions. So if you are a media creator, visual arts, photography, stop motion, anything, and you love Star Wars, now's the time to get with your friends, go ahead and make something. And just, you guys have to understand, if you've never done the Star Wars Fan Awards before, I've submitted stuff years ago, and I always love to see what comes out, just depending if I have time to actually create something to submit it. There's a good chance I'll never get anything to win, but it's really fun just to be creative with the world of Star Wars. And this is something that Lucasfilm has always kind of encouraged, because they know their fans, like, their fans, like, they love having their fans create stuff and spoof it, and that's what this is for. So check out StarWarsFanAwards.com and get your submission there. And again, the most impressive projects across the four categories will be go up for vote, and they'll be shown most likely at Celebration at the end. But it's really about short video, 15 seconds or less. So super short, like best cinematography, animation. Take your action figures and recreate that really cool Hoth scene or something. I don't know. I want to create something. Maybe we should create something as for the whole podcast.
Oh.
Have Donya. You can voice Leia, Caitlin. I can voice Luke. I don't know. Maybe you want. We'll see what we can do. We'll see what we create. Anyway, check it out. StarWarsFanAwards.com. San Diego Comic-Con has started. So San Diego Comic-Con has started. And guess what, guys? Star Wars, the Millennium Falcon Experience, which we've talked about on the show a couple months ago leading up to Solo. The Millennium Falcon Experience is at San Diego Comic-Con, which is really cool. So if you are heading to Comic-Con this weekend or are there currently on the first couple days, definitely go to the Star Wars Pavilion booth, booth number 2913, and definitely check out the docking bay for the Millennium Falcon Experience. Now, for those of you who don't remember what the Millennium Falcon Experience is, it was up here in Cincinnati where near I am, and it is absolutely amazing. It is a recreation of the Millennium Falcon cockpit. Caitlin, have you seen this before? Did you get a chance to visit it when it kind of went through different cities that might have been near you?
There is nothing near me, so no.
All right, well, so you didn't get a chance to see it. But this is amazing because the Millennium Falcon Experience is one of those things where it is a real life creation from based on the same set that is used in Solo, the Solo film, I guess Solo, A Star Wars Story. And it has everything from the knobs, levers, switches, and everything. And you can sit in the cockpit. You can pretend to be Lando Calrissian or Han Solo. So you can kind of decide. I always feel like I'm, you know, a little bit of Lando because, you know, he's a little suave. But it's just really cool. And those tickets are for free. So if you're at San Diego Comic-Con this weekend, you can go ahead and check this out for free. Tickets can be obtained at the Star Wars Pavilion. And the earliest entry will be at 10 a.m. each day. So definitely go ahead and check out the Star Wars experience. Or the Millennium Falcon experience. Oh, next bit of news. We're just moving through the news today. Anything else about the Millennium Falcon experience, Caitlin? No?
No.
Maybe I'm just so excited to talk about our spotlight topic.
Yeah, it could be. Plus, like, it's kind of hard for me to talk about it since I've not experienced it, except for in my imagination.
But you know what? Your imagination is kind of amazing because that's where everything comes to life, right? Anyway, moving on. Billy Dee Williams will be reprising his role as Lando Calrissian, at least according to Hollywood Reporter. We have yet to get an official Lucasfilm response from this, but it has been slipped multiple times that Billy Dee, and like I said, Hollywood Reporter is saying that he is returning. We talked about it, I think, two or three episodes ago, where it looks like he was canceling a couple different conventions, and he was getting back into shape. Working with the same trainer that worked with Mark Hamill. And guess what? It sounds like he is coming back for episode 9.
Well,
how do you think they'll use him?
I think... not to say that they can't use him as himself, but I have a sneaking suspicion it'll also be in relation to how they treat General Leia's storyline.
I agree with you on that. Like, I think a little bit of General Leia's storyline, because obviously Carrie Fisher is no longer with us, but Leia is still alive in the Star Wars universe, at least as of right now. They need someone to help tie in, you know, her passing or her, you know, something along those lines. And I think Billy Dee as Lando, with the passing of Han and Luke, and obviously Carrie, not Leia, but being able to be there to kind of, I don't know, maybe even like be, I don't know, people keep saying that they want a funeral. And I also read somewhere that it's like, what if there was a ceasefire between the First Order and the Resistance and they came together for a funeral? I'm like, I feel like Billy Dee is being used as a way to, you know, they made a call at the end of The Last Jedi for all, you know, for all resources, you know, anyone that's friendly to the Resistance to respond. And they even use Leia's personal code. And I think it's that connection right there. Leia's personal code would bring Lando out of kind of hiding or wherever he's hanging out at. And I will say Last Shot kind of gives us a little idea of what Lando is doing post Return of the Jedi. So we'll definitely have to talk about that eventually soon. But I definitely am kind of interested to see how they use Billy Dee Williams in episode 9.
Because I didn't get a chance to bring it up, but that is the option, is like when they sent out their relay that he did pick it up and he's on his way. But we also don't, as of yet, don't know what the time frame is in between episode 8 and episode 9. Whether it's a quick one or whether it's a few months? Is it years? We don't know that yet.
Well, and then also, we don't know how they're going to handle that time lapse. You know, you have in, you know, if you look at Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi, we have the exposition from the title crawl. And good news is, the sequel trilogy has the title crawl. But from, you know, Force Awakens to Last Jedi, there's almost no time lapse. The time lapse is them offloading and leaving. You know, they've refueled ships and they're trying to leave, but the First Order gets there right away. So it is one of the things where there's no time lapse. And then obviously Rey is on the island with Luke and she's handing him the lightsaber. So the time lapse is instantaneous. So, you know, I don't know. I feel like this, the sequel trilogy has to have a little bit more exposition in it. And they have done a lot of that type of, that kind of getting you people caught up. They did that in Rogue One with a lot of jumping around to the different planets. If you think about how it started off with Cassian getting information on one planet, to him back on Yavin, to them going to find, Jin on, her planet. And, so there's a lot of jumping around and different things like that. And I feel like they might do something like that, kind of showing the state of the galaxy. Because I don't think we felt the pressure of, like, a galaxy-wide oppression from the First Order yet. And I feel like, Billy Dee can kind of show some of this. Because, like, he's hanging out in Cloud City, being the Baron Administrator of Cloud City. And, now the First Order is coming to bear on there. And he has to respond to Leia's call. And time is moving. So I feel like it's really going to be interesting how they do it. And obviously, J.J. Abrams did such a good job with the Force Awakens. I'm excited to see how he ties Rian Johnson's vision of the sequel all together as a whole trilogy and how they're going to use Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian.
True.
Okay. So, spotlight topic.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hashtag Clone Wars saved. So it's been 10 years. We talked about this on our last episode. We kind of did our retrospective look back on the 10 years of Star Wars with the Clone Wars and the 6 seasons that it had. We even discussed kind of the unofficial last season where some of it was turned into the Darth Maul comic book series, the four comic book issue. We talked about the novel that was released, and we also talked about the, I think it was like 8 episodes that were released as cinematics or animatics on YouTube, kind of the unfinished episodes, which were great. Like, all of it was great. But Clone Wars was never finished, and the trailer for this new season of Clone Wars is amazing. Caitlin, what is your initial thoughts? I'm sorry, I'm just like, I want to talk about it, but I have to hear the initial thoughts, because I know what mine were.
So, when I was watching the trailer, I started keeping track of the amount of, like, chills that went through my body, and then I lost track because I got distracted. But I think the biggest chill hit when Ahsoka showed up.
But I'll agree with you on that. Like, for me, like, all right, I don't know. So I was watching this trailer and I was nothing but giddy through the whole thing. So first of all, just let this think back. Star Wars, The Clone Wars, a series, an animated series that was released 10 years ago in 2008, is coming back to the air. Now, in my mind, I was like, okay, before I saw the trailer, I'm thinking of this. I'm like, oh, I really hope it's not like, I'm going to reveal something about myself. I watched Full House as a kid. I don't know if you ever watched that show living in Canada. But I watched Full House. And Netflix has a series called Fuller House, which is essentially an extension. And it's really goofy, but it's fun. I was like, okay, I don't know how good this is going to be. But watching the trailer, I was just giddy, thinking that Clone Wars is coming back. And it's going to be 12 new episodes. All new. So not the completion of the ones that they've kind of showed a little bit, and then they kind of released through other media. No, these are 12 new stories, 12 new episodes, and it really is going to be the completion of the Clone Wars. You know, the tagline is Clone Wars, a war that was never finished, and we get to see the last bit. But hearing the voice of Rex start it off, dude, I think Rex was probably the most iconic character in Clone Wars. That just made me just beyond ecstatic. But I think hearing Rex talk about introducing Fives and Echo and the Commander Cody, who I have a love-hate relationship with Commander Cody, because Cody was the first clone that we see turn with Order 66 and made me so sad. But I'm shaking a little bit. I am so excited for this, Caitlin. And I know you just watched Clone Wars, this past year or so. So it's amazing. I know you said chills, and I think that's it. Like, it is, I'm so excited.
I got clone chills. And that's the thing, they say 12 all new episodes, and I don't know if this is just, hey, we want to finish off this story arc, plus, like, come use our new Disney platform. But I kind of wonder, depending on how it's received, whether they plan on extending it even further than that.
Well, so here's the thing is, I think they're probably going to just finish it after 12 episodes. Because if you saw the trailer, especially at the end with Anakin and Obi-Wan, they've started to change their outfits.
Yeah.
Especially like General Kenobi's outfit, right? You know, we know the General Kenobi outfit that we saw in Clone Wars. He's now wearing the Jedi robes that you see him wear in Revenge of the Sith. So it's one of those things that I definitely feel like they're now getting to kind of the end of that time period. You know, they're a little bit older, and they're getting to that time period where you see General Kenobi be the Obi-Wan Kenobi at the end of the war. You know, Anakin Skywalker becoming the Anakin Skywalker that can be manipulated and fall to the dark side. Plus, obviously, we see the return of Ahsoka Tano. So I think there's definitely going to be some time lapse from the last episode that we saw on broadcast or the ones we saw that were released on Netflix to these. But these are going to be right up to when I think Anakin and Obi-Wan leave to go save, you know, the Chancellor from Grievous, if you will. I would love for them to bring back some stuff from the Clone Wars animated series, the one who was done by the guys who did Samurai Jack, explain why Grievous is coughing in Revenge of the Sith. I don't know if you remember this, but we talked about it, the other Clone Wars series, the one that was hand-drawn, the cell-animated one, where at one point Mace Windu fought, you know, Grievous. Now, this is not canon anymore, but Mace Windu fought Grievous and used the Force to crush Grievous's lungs, which is why he's got that coughing kind of a fit that you see inside Revenge of the Sith. So I would love for that to become canon and other things that we would see in these 12 episodes also.
Yeah, I think I'm just being greedy. I'm like, oh, 12? What if they continued this series?
It would be fun if they continued the series. Now, I will say this. The really cool thing about this is I think the way they're doing this is because you have to remember we have such a long waiting period for episode 9. And Solo was the last movie before episode 9. And really, Star Wars, we have a whole generation of people that were introduced to Star Wars through the Clone Wars series, you know, the cartoon. And I think that this is going to be released, at least the way they'll position it would be, as kind of like that waiting period, get people excited for maybe the theme parks and episode 9 a little bit. I would love to see something along the lines of, you know, maybe them visit something like Galaxy's Edge that we're going to see in the theme parks to kind of canonize that. You know, I think they talked about it in Solo or one of the books we've discussed previously. I don't remember exactly where Galaxy's Edge and you know, where they've talked about, which is what the theme park is going to be. But I would love for some of this to tie into kind of the bigger Disney Star Wars story arc. And obviously, Filoni is, you know, he's Dave Filoni. You know, he's the guy who, you know, started with the Star Wars television with Clone Wars years ago. He did Rebels. And, you know, on this podcast, we absolutely love Rebels. I will say this. I'm going to read some comments here just because I want to talk about it. Some of the comments I've seen for this is everyone is just so pumped for it. Like, everyone is so excited. And I can't say enough good things about it, but I think someone said, in Filoni we trust. Like, you know, full on, like, you know, he had direct connection to George Lucas. And this Clone Wars was something from George Lucas also. It was George Lucas' story. But he spent time with Filoni and let Filoni go ahead and run with it. And I think that is like the perfect torch passing, if you will. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the sequel trilogy. And it might just be that there's more content in Rebels and in Clone Wars. But as much as I love Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, and I'll even say, and Rogue One and Solo, I love the TV series is probably more. Just because there's that much more. I don't know. Do you have any of the same feelings, Kaylin? Or am I just completely honest on my own, like how much I love Clone Wars?
Well, also, again, because it's a TV series, it both in season hours combined and then multiple seasons, it gives you more of a time to develop an attachment to the characters and the story and the medium in which it is. Whereas like a movie, yes, sometimes they feel like they're 3 hours long, but and like in terms of like Luke, Leia, and Han, you have them over decades. But again, their content is really narrowed to certain points, and they do actually show up in these series a little bit here and there. But that probably helps as well in terms of like if you like same with like the theory that often your best friend or your closest friend is often the friend you've had the longest. Not always, but sometimes just because you have that history. Whereas like a new friend, there's nothing wrong with them, but you've had limited time. You haven't had the time to develop that connection. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's it. Because like even with Rebels, we got 4 seasons of Rebels. So we're attached to them. But with Clone Wars, we had 5 broadcast seasons, a 6th season that was half season that was released, and now you know you spent so much time with it. It made character like it introduced characters like Ahsoka Tano, and I don't care what anyone says. Ahsoka Tano is one of my favorite characters. Everything from being called Snips to just her character growth, like as a Jedi with Anakin and learning from it, and or even just like her sass back to Anakin, calling him Sky Guy. And he's supposed to be like the chosen one, and you know, it's just such a good series, and you can have fun with it all the way through. And there's something for everyone in Clone Wars. It's one of my, I think that's why I always tell people you have to watch it. But seeing it revisited, and like I'm rewatching part of the trailer here, like right now. So as I rewatch the trailer, and I think we might need to do a little bit of a trailer breakdown. The trailer starts just with like the clones, which obviously Clone Wars. Kind of walking and it being on Rex's helmet, and then you just cross after clone helmet just on the ground. You see you know cannon fire and stuff like that, you know, destroy them, and then it goes into a war left unfinished. And that's what it was, where like we know what happens in the Clone Wars. You have Obi-Wan talk about it in A New Hope. And then, you know, it was just kind of left where, you know, where the series was done when Disney purchased Lucasfilm, even though there was more planned. And then they scrapped it to kind of focus on everything else, which is fine. But this is, like, amazing that they're bringing it back. I think they realized, like, Clone Wars needs to be finished. Like, the story needs to be finished, told how Anakin got to where he was, where Ahsoka was in the meantime. And I think this is also just prepping, like, an Ahsoka TV show or an Ahsoka movie or something with Ahsoka, because her reveal at the end of the trailer was amazing. Like it was the perfect blend of the Ahsoka from the Clone Wars and Ahsoka from Rebels, like aging wise, if that makes sense.
Oh yes. 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 And yeah. Did you notice there was a Mandalorian armor?
I feel like that is the person who was next to Ahsoka. I'm pulling it up right now. I feel like that was, yeah, that's what do you call it? That's Death Watch right there. That looks like it was Satine, or yeah. Not Satine. Who's the one that was given the Mandalorian sword in Rebels?
I'm terrible with names.
But it's the same armor as the person who got it in Rebels. And geez, I wish Evan or Donnie were here, because they would probably remember off the top of their head. But it looks like it's the same one. And this actually makes sense, because remember, with the Maul storyline, which we see in Solo. Sorry, spoiler. We see Maul in Solo. And this is going to tie, I feel, directly into more Maul information. And it also, I think this also ties into like, some of the other news that I wanted to talk about during this, which I guess we'll pause this thought on, like seeing the Mandalorian in the hologram of Ahsoka, and talking about her universe and their new label, Our Universe. Like, did you see where they did the photo shoot for these new amazing outfits?
Yes, but I'd also want to, like, it kind of reminded me, like, the trailer reminded me of Maul in the sense that a lot of people at this point, 10 years down, thought Clone Wars was dead. We all thought Maul was dead at the end of episode 1. Turns out not so much for either one.
And that makes sense. That's true.
Barry Live, they're alive and kicking. Anyways, back to her universe.
Yeah, so Ashley Eckstein, who was the voice of Ahsoka Tano, created her own, her own line of clothing called Her Universe years ago, which has all these amazing Star Wars clothes. And so obviously they've released stuff for the 10-year anniversary, which is which before they announced this, I was super pumped for it, cuz like the Skywalker, hoodie looks absolutely amazing. And then I also am really big fan of the Darth Maul one. But like where the photo shoot is, I guess this was kind of a teaser without intending it to be a teaser. They're in an audio booth where they have their microphone, so they're doing recording lines. And I didn't really think anything of it, but it has all the actors that basically, it's got Matt Lanter, who is the voice of Anakin Skywalker, wearing the Skywalker hoodie. Catherine Tabor, who's wearing the Padme Amidala one. James Arnold doing the voice of Obi-Wan, wearing the Obi-Wan kind of robe. And Sam Witwer, who wears the, Darth Maul jacket, right? And this Darth Maul jacket just is so cool. But I wouldn't even think about it with, Sam Witwer being there. But of course, why not have them come back and record their lines for 12 new episodes and take a photo shoot all in it so we can just mass media market it all and drop it. But it just looks so cool. I am so excited for this stuff. Is there any of them that stand out to you?
I love the Ahsoka dress, but I also like that Ashley has the way she has her hair. And then of course with the scarf, and then she's got this little smirk, like, just you wait until the news drops of where I am.
Oh, yeah. They told that, they shot this here. This is really cool. This is cool clothing. But then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wait, the news drops is that they're doing new episodes. And maybe they were just recording the lines for the trailer, for all we know. But it is amazing. Like, these things are amazing. And actually, as we look at it, it looks like they have the voice of Padme there in her in the purple jacket, which I will say is pretty spiffy. Looks pretty cool, but
I kind of want purple, the jacket too.
Yeah, that purple jacket is cool, but I didn't hear Padme's voice in the trailer, so obviously she's there recording, and I didn't hear Maul's voice in the trailer, and we have Sam Witwer there rocking that awesome Maul jacket. And I will say he is pretty intense. I don't know if you see his face in the first one.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, recording times, though, I just realized we don't actually know when they're releasing the 12 episodes, do we? Because I couldn't find it anywhere in the article.
No, so it hasn't been announced in the press release yet. Now, that doesn't mean that they haven't announced something at San Diego Comic-Con and just hasn't leaked online yet. They'd like to kind of say stuff, but they did say that it's returning with 12 all-new episodes on Disney's direct-to-consumer streaming service. So I don't think they're going to release it like in a traditional time frame. It's going to be more on whenever Disney releases their streaming service. And we know that Resistance is not going to be... Is Resistance going to be on the streaming service? I have to remember. Yeah, Resistance will also be on the streaming service. So I feel like they're trying to beef up what's going to be available on day one of their streaming service. Obviously, we'll have all of Disney's back catalog. But if you can get someone to sign up for more than a month, I think Netflix released something a while ago that people just, once they signed up, the likelihood of them canceling is not as high as people think, because you have to get online, you have to go to your account, you have to try to cancel it, confirm it, all those things, where it's really easy to just, it's only $9 a month, and people just kind of let it be, because then you have that kind of benefit of being able to watch the stuff whenever. And I think this might be just them trying to beef up the Disney, streaming service directly. But I'll tell you this, I was already planning to get it, because one, I love Disney, and two, I was excited to see Resistance and everything else on it, but now this just makes it, I can't wait to be able to watch it. I will say, I'm wondering if this is going to be released all at once, all at Netflix, or weekly, like some of the other streaming services.
Or they could release it in segments, too. They could be like, here's one and two, and then next week, here's three. Like, if there's, this is a two-parter, Then they release it together.
Yeah, they could totally release it as you know, chunks of the... Heck, they can even release the first part of it, like, you know, first three or four episodes, and then, like, there'd be a break, and then the other ones. Now, I will say, we have one of our Patreon members, Brack, is saying they better not release it, like, in chunks and not release it. And he says if he's paying for a streaming service, he wants it all at once. I would agree. I love the idea of binge watching Clone Wars, but at the same time, there's something nice about kind of savoring it, and it also gives us something to talk about each week. So I will say this, I am a fan of like it being weekly, kind of like with Rebels, even if it was like two episodes, like a two-parter type thing. But this also makes me really interesting. 6 weeks. Well, this makes it even really interesting. It's like, forget two-part episodes. Like, because it's on a streaming service and it's not tied to a network, what dictates that one episode has to be 23 minutes, which is the length of a half an hour show? If people didn't know, they're usually 23 and a half to 24 minutes is what a TV show is if it's a half an hour show. What's to say that they can't have an episode that's 45 minutes, another one that's 23, and another one that's an hour and 10 minutes? This is one thing I love that the BBC does. You see this with Doctor Who and a lot of their shows. They don't really have a like 100% set running time. They kind of are flexible to tell the story. And if it's short, fine. If it's a little bit longer, that's cool too. And I think with it being all streaming, they don't have to fit to an exact formula. It doesn't have to fit BS cookie cutter, if that makes sense. But only Filoni would know. So we'll have to wait and see. Okay, so we now know that it's coming out to the streaming service. What do you want the story to tell us? Is there anything that you hope for? I know this news literally broke today, Caitlin, but this is something like, as I saw this at work on my way home, I was thinking, I'm like, we gotta change our spotlight topic and have to talk about this. Is there anything that stood out to you?
Really, at this point, I'm looking for more Ahsoka and Obi-Wan Kenobi. So I will take anything they're willing to give me. I kind of just trust them to do what they need to do to finish the story as they see it. But I think generally I'm just excited to go back and revisit the characters. And like, I lost track of the chills because even like at the beginning when it was just Rex and then like they started listing, like you heard the voices and the personalities of the different clones coming through, like I just got chills because then I'd like recognize the different characters or personalities, like with Rex and Cody and like all of them coming through, and like there's a long line, and then watching the helmets explode as like the full trailer comes into viewing, I guess. So I'm just like overall excited, but I don't like, I find my problem is if I start building on where, like, thinking or imagining where I want a story to go, usually I end up having different feelings on what I see, which might have been part of my problem with the Solo movie. So I want to refrain from, in my head, building where I want the story to go. But that's just how my brain works. It's weird like that.
I will say I am most excited for seeing the evolution of Obi-Wan and Anakin getting out of their, I guess their wartime outfits, you know, as cool as they were with like the armor and pieces, getting into what we saw in, you know, Revenge of the Sith and kind of making that transition. Like, is the war winding down and like they've almost got it won and it's more guerrilla warfare type stuff, or is it just a shift in like the Jedi Council feeling things closing in and they have to get back to kind of what causes the Jedi to fall in the end? I don't know. That's kind of what I'm most excited for. All right. Anything else, Caitlin?
No. I think anything else, like I would have to sit down, like, because I only had a chance to really watch the trailer once. I think I would need to sit down and watch it multiple times to pick up, because there was a lot of voicing over of like things and different voices and things like that. So like I'd like to be able to dissect it and hear each individual one and see if it's okay, some of it's probably from the previous series, but some of it's probably the new stuff as well.
Thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. And as always, I am Mikey B.
And I'm Caitlin.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
What's so important that you brought us all the way back here?
Hello, Master. It's been a while.